Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
You know I'm trying. What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Monday, November the 20th, as we are in starting Thanksgiving week. It should be a fairly quiet week in the markets. Wouldn't expect a lot of action, wouldn't expect a lot to happen as we come into the holiday season anyways. And of course, we've got the Monday and Tuesday, today and tomorrow. We'll be may have some activity by Wednesday. I would expect the markets to be dead. And on Friday, I would expect nothing. Now, of course, we have had some action on Black Friday a couple of times over the years. Once we had a Dubai had a major problem and oil in the markets went crazy. But as a rule, we would have figured not much to go on. And of course, after last week's action and the tax cut vote and all the other thing, we had a market that doesn't look great. Overall, I could make a case to that we'd want to be short, but I would never do that because I don't think that this is the right time. I think that the seasonality that we're into now is typically stronger. So there'd be no reason to try to force this market lower. It doesn't mean we won't have down days, but I don't think we're going to have a net overall trend change, although the markets are consolidating right now. So we'll see how that kind of plays. But I don't expect a lot to happen. I would expect, if there's a big move, it will be probably lower. And also, if there's a big move, it will be probably on thin volume, which would not be when I'd put a lot of stock in to begin with. So I think we continue watching. Now, again, the equity market is one thing, and the commodities market is another. The commodities could have some activity. I think we saw gold try to jet off on Friday. And of course, we are targeting, 1310 to 1340 anyways. So it'd be no surprise if that happened during the week, if we get a good level to get in, but we've got to break above 1300. I think that oil could go a lot lower. Now, again, this would be a little tricky this week with oil, because what we're seeing in the oil markets is a little bit of fear. Why? I don't know, but it is what it is. But the fear that we're seeing is you can see it in what we call the formation of the charts going forward. That would be the backwardation or contango. And just a quick explanation, contango is how markets are normally cheaper in the front. And as you go out in time, they get more expensive based on time. But of course, that is something that that we would not be concerned about, and that would give us a more indication that selling it is correct. But of course, you don't want to get caught in a trap, okay? You don't want to get caught in a market that forces you out before it's time. And that's something that we always think about, and that's why I'm not urging you to get extra short here. But certainly if you are if you trade futures and if you trade options on futures, then that would be a potential opportunity for you to go ahead and play the market. If you were going to buy some options, because that would be something that I wouldn't have a problem with. And again, then I would not be necessarily forced out of the market. So that's what we're seeing in that department. I think, as I said Friday, the tax cut program is ridiculous. I think that the tax cut was more about a win versus a actual really good plan. I think that it disadvantages small business. I think that's another issue because, again, I'm a big believer that small business is the driver of the American economy. And if you cut them out, which I think we've done, I think you're going to make it easier for the big to get bigger. And you're going to make it tougher for the small guy to compete, which I think is a terrible disaster overall. And that's always something that I worry about, you know, from my standpoint and from where I think we can go. And that becomes, once again, the unknown problem that nobody wants to talk about. And to me, that becomes the bigger problem. And this is an issue that has been part of the situation and part of the problems that we've had over the last few years, as we keep allowing the big to get bigger. And of course, we get back into that that too big to fail model. And then where do we end up with? Well, we end up in the toilet. And I think that becomes an overall problem as well. And I think this is where we have to look to, you know, make ourselves better and bring back into the world competition. I think when you destruct and destroy competition, you end up with a much bigger problem. And of course, it's much easier to fix a bunch of small businesses than it is to, you know, allow these guys to get, as they say, too big to fail. That's an issue, I think. And so that would be something that I'd be looking at. In the meantime, you know, we've got the crypto space, you know, going crazy back and forth. And of course, I think that will be a space that will be actually very valid, as I've written about many times. I think that we're going to see some real movement here, and I think there's going to be real products. And of course, that is even more consistent with the economists calling it a bubble, because, you know, they never call anything a bubble until it's too late. So, you know, I don't see the overall deal of what they're seeing or what they want you to see. I think this is just another issue showing that how clueless that they actually are. And that goes into the, you know, the manipulation of the markets we're seeing by central banks worldwide. You know, again, this is the Bernanke put, the Greenspan put, the Yellen put, the Powell put, any put. You know, again, it's when they put a floor underneath the market, that is something that, again, we should understand that that it's artificial, and that eventually they're going to pull the rug out of you, away from you. So here's something that you look at, and again, it doesn't mean you jump in anything here. Again, everything you do should be done for a technical reason. Everything we look at should be done based on technicals, not based on what our opinion is or what we hear. Because remember, the news that you hear is very often priced in before you hear it. So that's where these markets look very murky at best. And I think you've seen a lot of this manipulation, and that's the forcing every investor into one asset class as margin debt grows every single day. You know, it's at record highs and making a new record every day. And it's not the kind of record you want to make, but that's when you do not discuss the debt structure. That could be even the bigger problem. And I think these are the issues that we need to be watching. And again, I don't know that much will happen this week, Thanksgiving week, but it is something to keep an eye on and to be concerned about. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to remind you to check out highschoolinvesting.com. That is our the financial literacy program for kids that I've done for 6 years on my own. And I finance it myself. I get no payment from anybody, but we are trying to raise some money through Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, that's to help support. And so we can get from 300 high schools to 30,000. In the meantime, don't forget to go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, we got Monday Night Football tonight, and we will take the Atlanta Falcons to kick butt over the Seattle Seahawks. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop our break. We'll be right back with more with Jane King after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and with the action that GE's had the last few days, we can say that it's with Jane King bringing good things to life, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and Jane King, what's up?
Oh, just worried about taxes and met with the accountant again on Monday. So we're like, you know, I'm really ready for some tax reform. Man, New York's an expensive place to live.
Well, you know, listen, you want to be a big star. You're a big star. You got to live. You got to pay. You got to pay the piper. Illinois is no bargain either.
You want to have avocado toast, you got to pay for it.
You know, Illinois is not a bargain here. But so, Jane, you know, you have the unique background of not only you now a big city girl, but you were a farm girl at one point, and you understand every side of the economy. Now, I'm going to say to you that I think this tax plan is ridiculous, and I don't think it's any good at all. And I don't, you know, we were promised a heck of a lot better. And to me, this doesn't do much of anything. And in fact, it does not help the small business be competitive with bigger businesses. It actually even brings in more of a hindrance. I'd like to know your opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, the Small Business Administration came out against the plan, and now we've got Ron Johnson, the senator, saying he can't vote for it because it favors big companies over small companies. So, of course, that's BS, and it should be changed, and I hope they can get it changed. I mean, like, how often do you sit around and listen to these lawmakers go, oh, we got to encourage small business, it's the lifeblood of the economy, we have to stimulate our small companies because they grow and they hire, and then they put together a plan like this. I mean, it's disappointing, and I don't know. I mean, did they think that nobody's going to notice, or, you know, what exactly did they think was going to happen? Because we have to take care of those small businesses. I mean, not only can they grow to be big businesses and big employers, I mean, every big company started small one day, but it's just, you know, it's great for communities. It's great, you know, for entrepreneurs. We have to protect that.
And we're not. We're taking that away. And this is one of the problems I have as I look at the plan. I go, okay, so here is a 20% for big business, 25% for small business. We already know that those who fall under regulatory issues, big business has a big edge there. And basically what we're doing is we're destroying the opportunity for small business. And I've said, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, that small business, middle class people, they are the true supporters of any economy. That's the ones that really drive growth and everything else. Because, again, you're a small business person. You do everything. You know, you do everything from clean the toilets to do all the broadcasting, right? I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's
no,
really
I'm
what it
is. I'm editing, I'm delivering the news, I'm writing, I'm producing, I'm billing, I'm trying to, you know, I do everything. And, you know, here's the thing, like, about small businesses is that, I mean, not only do they, you know, provide jobs, and they're just great for local communities. So, like, my husband has a small business in our neighborhood in New York, and he sponsors a soccer team and a girls softball team and a boys basketball team. And he gives away, he does like a fitness business. So he gives away training sessions to all the preschools for their fundraising auctions. I mean, they're not getting that stuff from General Electric and, you know, and Amazon and things like that. I mean, they're getting those from the small business. They're community. They're really important. And, I think that I don't understand why there's a different tax rate for small business versus big businesses. It should be the same. I mean, this whole purpose was to make this tax plan simpler. So why have two different tax structures? I mean, it makes no sense, and they should change it.
Which brings me to my next question, which is simply the day the House announced their plan, the Russell was up 150 ticks, or let's say 15 points in the Russell, which is a real big move for the Russell. It's only at 1,100 point index or 1,500 point index. And the minute they heard the plan, they reversed and went down 15 points, and they're down about 4.5% to 5% since these tax plans started, which is a perfect indication that small business does not like this tax plan. So what makes the government, the senators, the congressmen, whoever, think that we as Americans are so dumb that we're going to accept what they say with their smile on their face as they're trying to reach into my back pocket and get my wallet?
Yeah, well, they can't. I mean, I know I sound like a broken record, but can you look at cutting spending? I mean, you could probably cut 15% off of the federal budget and nobody would even know. I mean, just in waste and by updating technology and, you know, like attrition, you know, things like that, that they won't. They don't even talk about that. And I mean, that's just, it's insane. And I don't know what to do about it, Todd, besides just hope that other people get elected.
That's true. And then again, that brings me to one more point on this whole thing, and that's debt, right? You just mentioned it. But, you know, nobody's talking about this. You know, we have more debt today between student loans and autos than we had in the housing crisis. And that doesn't count the debt that the Fed has created and the debt that the government continues to create and the impossible task of having Social Security last for more than another 10 years or whatever it's going to be. Why aren't we addressing the debt issue here? Why are we not worried about those things instead of, you know, the state and local taxes and having big business get a bigger tax break? Why is that?
Did you see those numbers from the Fed this week? $14 trillion in accumulative debt. $1 trillion. I mean, that's credit card, that's home equity, that's student loan debt, that's car loans. I mean, that's unbelievable. That number was just astounding. And I actually think, like, if we face a huge economic contraction, like kind of what we went through in 2008, 2009, until the government stepped in and bailed people out, that is going to be debt related. I think we're if we keep going like this, we're going to get to a point where nobody's going to be able to help. And it's going to lead to, I think, a really severe contraction. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing, you know, these cyber currencies doing so well.
Right.
They don't want any fiat money backing up some of this stuff because the debt is just insane.
Agreed. So I know you'd love to hire people. Okay. What would it take? What kind of tax plan would it take for Jane King to be able to afford to hire people? Because people are expensive. You know, everybody just thinks you pay somebody that's like $10 an hour, which I mean, I know you're going to pay more than that, but it's not $10 an hour. A $10 an hour employee in New York is probably a $15 or $16 employee by the time you finish.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the general rule of thumb is like their salary, and then there's another 50% on top of that. So, I have kind of a vision of how I want to build the team. And I, you know, I want a small team, but I want them really smart. And I'm not going to make them work long hours, but I am going to make them work hard when they're here. So, that's the thing. I mean, I work early mornings, so I got to find somebody who's okay with that, who doesn't oversleep and will last longer than a couple of years on a crazy overnight shift. It's got to be somebody really special. It's got to be somebody who's smart, who understands business, is passionate about it. It's tough to find somebody like that. But so I think, you know, a couple things would have to happen. Taxes would help. But then what the ripple effect after that, you know, what we need to see is the advertising industry and TV come back again. There's a lot of cautiousness in it because nobody really knows where ad dollars are going. People think digital is taking over, and like Google, outside of Google and Facebook, nobody's really seeing ad revenues growing. So everybody's trying to sort all that out. So there need to be more confidence in the industry for me to, you know, go ahead and hire people because it's been very inconsistent this year. So that would have to happen. And then, you know, those would be the two key things, and add some more stations. But, you know, it's like a, you know, chicken and egg thing, you know, ads right. have to improve, stations have to come along, and I'd love to build a nice little team.
I know. And I know you would. I mean, and we need, if you know, in small business, you have to have people that are willing to work as hard as you do that built the business, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to build it bigger and obviously make them a part of the team. But, you know, again, one last question for you. Okay. Now I know you have two young kids. Lila and Max, right? Lila and Max Media. Mm-hmm. But,
right.
You know, I'm sure you let them on Facebook, or maybe you don't. I don't, you know, they may be too young. I don't know the age of all this.
Yeah, they're not. You know what? They're not into social media at all, which is a whole fascinating topic that we should talk about sometime. They don't want any social media.
I
don't know.
I love that. But, I you know, because I'm concerned that the way, you know, the social media thing is really starting to hurt a lot of the young kids in the world. And that kind of ties into your education program as well. But the kids spend so much time on Facebook, and so many bad things can happen off of Facebook just from, you know, cyberbullying. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, they, like I said, I mean, they're not interested. Max got a phone for his 10th birthday, used phone. And he said, I don't want to download any Twitter or Facebook, nothing. Now, he does do this thing called TBH, and it's like, to be honest, and it's all positive comments. So you get on there and like an honest people can go, hey, Max, seems like he's going to be the most likely to succeed in our class or something like that. So it's really kind of almost a counter Twitter, like it's really all positive. They do play a lot of video games. So that's kind of more, you know, what I'm dealing with than actual social media. It's interesting. Sometime we'll talk about this a little more in depth, but I'm doing middle school tours right now. Max will be a sixth grader next year. And just the themes that I'm seeing as I do these middle school tours and what all these, I've been to 8 schools, I think, so far, and they're all kind of like pushing and talking about the same stuff. as you and I talk about education, I think you'll find that interesting.
I will, and I always find you interesting. Jane King, as always, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Tom.
And that was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, who's also really into the financial literacy program. And I'm sure she'd urge you to check it out too at highschoolinvesting.com and patreon.com/Bubba Trading. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Hart. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com at the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horvitz coming right back to you after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, at CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time for our expert, our technical expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm all right. I mean, you know, markets are kind of quirky and still the same. I mean, not a lot's changed. I know you don't follow volume, but volumes have been light. Volatility did try to pick up a little bit, but has not been phenomenal, but it is a little bit better. But I think the overall week, I think the markets are starting to weaken a little bit. I know that you're still probably fairly certain that the NASDAQ has gone higher. So give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I do think the NASDAQ's going, you know, to roughly 8,000, which was, you know, what we've been talking about. The Dow and the Russell, I have a little bit lower targets on, but, you know, they're just minor targets to the downside, and they're rising. So, you know, everything I'm looking at looks like we could have a little bit more softness there, but then we're going to, you know, we're probably going to have that Santa Claus rally.
I wouldn't be surprised. That I keep, you know, warning everybody that this is not the time of year to take a stand to the short side. Not that we can't go down and not that we won't go down, but, you know, historically, I mean, this is fairly, at least a reasonably strong time of year, especially in a market that's already up quite a bit. They tend to strengthen at the end of the year. I mean, I would personally be looking into the first quarter if there's going to be some major weakness. I mean, again, there could be some weakness. And of course, this week, especially with a very short week and most likely very light volume, because after today and tomorrow, I mean, most guys will be gone Wednesday and Friday anyways, right?
Yeah, you know, it's going to dry up on Wednesday, I'm sure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah. So I'm thinking it's going to be a light week. We might get, you know, a little this early on here. We might get a little bit more, you know, pullback in the Dow, maybe a little bit more in the Russell. But yeah, basically, what we've done is we've covered a lot of shorts and we've added to the long side on the NASDAQ.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, look, it's certainly, again, if you play just the forget about your analysis, but if you also play if your analysis is bullish and you're in a bullish time of year, that's usually a pretty good mix. I think that so we saw some interesting things at the end of last week, and I got to get your opinion first on the gold market. You know, gold suddenly on, you know, it's been, in my opinion, has held up remarkably well and held 1260, then it held 1270, and now it made a run at 1300. And you know, got there and then kind of pulled back a little bit. What did you think of the gold action on Friday?
Yeah, I did think that was bullish too. I mean, there was a inclining resistance that it punched through right at the end of the day on Friday, when every other market was closed. I mean, this was just COMEX open, and it fired through. So, you know, it went through the 50-day moving average. It's above both the 50 and the 200 now, and I think it probably runs higher. I'm not going to get super bullish. This is a short-term thing for me. I think, you know, medium, longer term, we're going to head back down again. And part of that has to be the fact that the commercials are, you know, they're not giving up. They're adding to shorts. In fact, it was a high volume move, and open interest expanded quite a bit. And the only way that's typically happening is if the commercials are shorting and the managed money guys are buying. So it's probably going to set up a more bearish market structure. But this can run, quite a bit higher. I think we'd go into the, 1320, 1330, before any short-term rally ends.
Yeah, no, I thought that 1340, I said my target was between 1310 and 1340, and I expect to see it, and I would expect to see a little bit of a pullback. Now, I don't see a major pullback, back down below. I mean, I would be surprised if we went back below 1200 at any time in the next, six months, let's say. Now, it could happen. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's I have a major support line coming in right now at about 1175, but it's rising. So, the longer it takes, the higher that's going to be. And, it's going to cross above 1200 at the end of January. So I could see that. I could see us holding above 1200. I do think eventually we get, one big more move to the downside.
One big douche. I get it.
One big flush to the downside where, everybody gets just totally discouraged and that'll be it.
I can see that. Yeah. I mean, that all makes sense. I mean, look, again, markets are markets and they're going to do what they're going to do. I think when you look, and I want to now bring up, Bitcoin, Bitcoin's been pretty wild again, as usual. I mean, it's almost wild all the time. And of course, now it's trading in the mid, almost high 7,000s, actually after getting closer at your target during the week. And of course, I know you sold some and I know you're actively involved in it. What are your thoughts of the Bitcoin right now?
Well, there's an inclining resistance line that goes back to I think it's November 8th is that high, and it's if you draw a line between that high and the high of the past couple days, that's where the line is, and right now it's just above 8,000. So I think for right now that's where resistance lies. You punch above that, and then we can move at least another 500-600 points to the upside. We got this pullback about a week ago, down to 5,600, 5,500. That relieved a lot of these overbought indicators, the daily and the weekly, to some degree. The monthly, if you look at monthly RSI, is still like 93. So I mean, this is we're gonna get serious volatility out of this, but for right now, I think we're okay to to stay long, and that there'll be some more upside.
Now, does the volatility, does that get bigger when the products start to come out? Of course, we've got the CBOE and the CME starting to bring our products, and of course, you and I cover it regularly, and we're going to start to cover it even more going forward. Does the product coming out, does that help stabilize the pricing, or does it make it even more wild because it brings it open to more people to trade it?
I think it probably makes it more wild, actually. I mean, I think, there's pent up buying demand for Bitcoin, but there's a lot of people that don't want to buy it through, the established channels. They don't want to necessarily get on Coinbase, or they don't want to open up these other accounts. They want to work with, traditional, exchanges like, the CBOE, the CME. So, and then shortly after the futures start trading, you're going to have those ETFs come in. And then you're going to get, real retail participation as well. But I think what will happen is there's a certain amount of pent up buying that wants to come in. And when it does, you're probably going to, get some volatility to the upside. But then also to the downside when, that initial, spike is over, when that money's come in and, buying pressure lessens, I think we'll get a pullback.
But of course, the more volatility, the better off you and I will both like it, because that makes it better for guys who trade technical analysis, which I think is important. I mean, in my opinion, Matt, we look at the general markets, and what is the biggest problem you and I can both point to is the lack of volatility. That really is the key. in market movement, because what happens is without volatility, those indicators get much tighter and much harder to trade, and they don't move as much, and then you have a very unforgiving market where, you know, every trade has to be almost right on. What do you think?
Yeah, no, this is the place to be. You know, the cryptocurrencies have been where you are going to get volatility. Whereas, stocks have been choppy or, you know, been slow movers to the upside with no real, like you said, no volatility. It's not great for a trader.
And of course, that takes us to crude oil, which I know, you know, you've been looking at, and I don't know if you were able to buy back. I know you talked about it last week. I don't know if that changed during the week, but of course it did dip down, but it is on, you know, pretty light volatility right now. There's not a lot of price movement as a rule. And then the other point of it is that, you know, we had the big move up on Friday, and tie that with that you're starting to see, I know you don't watch these things, but the contango and backwardation formation is starting to change, which means that there's a little bit of fear driving this oil right now. And of course, down the road, it shows that it's going to be lower. What do you think?
Yeah, well, we did cover a little bit when we got down to 55, roughly. Because that's right around where I think the breakout level was. It was about 50. It was roughly 54.70 was where I was thinking the breakout was. So when we got down to 55, we took the opportunity to cover some. We're still short. It's a good long-term short. But as far as trading, I am a little bit worried myself. I think that, because we broke an important resistance line at 54.70. The next one up, as we talked about last week, is 64 for me. So it's a lot higher. And I don't know, I don't know if that means we're going to get chaos or, power struggle or something going on in Saudi Arabia. What would cause that to happen? I can't be sure. But I want to leave a little bit of dry powder to short at higher levels.
I get that. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, look, that's the art of being a trader, is making sure that you're not all in yet, because you don't have a reason to be all in yet. And that's something that you and I talk about on a regular basis here, is not only what do we think, but how do you trade those positions. We are with our expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you check out his website. He does great information, gives great analysis, and has been pretty much spot on most of the markets. So make sure you check out DemeterResearch.com. In the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget about my daily updates, which I email to you. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com, and you can download, you can sign up for the link. You get it for free. And lastly, but not least, we're doing a webinar Black Friday. So you can go to the website and sign up for that. It's free. And I'll be going over my opinion of what the state of the markets are. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our guy Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, we've seen some interesting action. We talked about crude, we talked about gold, and of course, you've been a believer that the euro currency is going to pop up to about that 122 level and the dollar's going to break down. And last week, we saw a little bit of a selling in the dollar, and the dollar failed to get through 95 and ended up under 94. And the euro did pop up to the mid 118s for a little bit, and it is still over 118. What's your take of those markets as they sit today?
Well, it was the euro came right to rising support and almost broke it. So I was, concerned that it wasn't going to, fulfill its upside target for me. I have several targets up in the, just above 120 from 120 up to 122.5. I don't know if, the high end can be reached anymore, because on the downside for the dollar, I'm looking for, basically a higher low. So we're talking about 91 and change, 91, say 30. So if the dollar is going to get down to 91.30 as max downside, then I don't know if that leaves enough room for the euro, conversely, to, make it all the way up to, say, 122.5. But I would think here, what I'm looking at is I have a target at just above 120, at about 120 and a half, and I think that's doable. I think we'll get there.
All right, and now you know, we've been watching DBA. You know, we cover the grains and livestock occasionally here. And, of course, you know, DBA, we had a much lower target. And, of course, we saw a little bit of a pop. My eyes, again, and this is from my view, I think that the grain markets have now put their lows in. Soybeans might still be a little bit questionable because they're still kind of flirting around and they're a little bit more volatile than the other. But I believe that wheat and corn have now seen their lows. And what are your thoughts with DBA and those grains markets?
Well, with DBA, I don't think DBA is done to the downside. But speaking of corn, corn just landed on a major support, so it's quite possible that corn's bottomed. And then we're talking about wheat. I've thought for a while that wheat, you know, was more or less bouncing on long-term support. With soybeans, I don't think soybeans are done to the downside, though. So that's the one that I still have a problem with.
No, I can understand that. That makes sense. I mean, it's been, you know, my level in soybeans is 985 basis January now. And, of course, they've been on both sides of that. And, you know, again, I wouldn't be shocked if they went back down to 920, you know, in a heartbeat, you know, if something happens now. So, again, but I would be very comfortable being long wheat and long corn here without much issue, knowing that I believe that the risk reward is much more favorable to the upside than it is to the downside.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that. Yeah. When we talk about DBA, I think it's like 14 different agricultural commodities that go into that one. And I have a next major support in that. It's around 1750. So, you know, we're at 19 now. So the whole agricultural space, like when you put it all together, I think probably has a little bit more downside. But yeah, those, like we just said, I think wheat and corn look good.
And then, you know, of course, the commitment of traders report and the VIX, it looks like they've sold some of their volatility futures. What's your take there and how do you see it?
Yeah, it's another, you know, that's sort of another confirmation for me that, you know, we're not going to necessarily get a lot more downside in the near term. Because they have been lightening up on when we've gotten these little spikes in the VIX, they have been lightening up into them. So, you know, when we get up to 14, 15 over the past those day or two when we got up there just above 14, they did lighten up. And when I look at the skew and the options between the calls and the puts, they're getting close to even. So there really isn't a big mismatch between call premiums and put premiums in those European style options. So that also makes me think that, you know, market makers tend to think volatility is about fairly priced here. They don't think it's grossly underpriced. So yeah, what I'm seeing out of volatility is sort of, it's moderating. And so I think it'll probably get oversold again. And they won't, we'll get the commercials buying, you know, aggressively again as we get back towards 10 and 9. And then I could definitely see what you're talking about first quarter. If they really load up on volatility, we could see a first quarter, good sell off then.
And then, you know, you had been a bear in copper, and of course you got a nice pullback, and of course it looks like we're starting to, after peaking at like 326 or so, you know, we've been coming down, we're, you know, 307, and it looks like we're downtrending from here. Do you see a pop here, or should we be looking to sell copper again?
Well, you know, it's getting oversold on daily indicators, not drastically, but enough that, you know, we have a good size short position on. We're going to cover half of it here early this week, and thinking that there's probably going to be one more pop to the upside that we'll be able to short. We'll add back to that short position and actually enlarge it if we get up to, I'm seeing, you know, the top end of this range being, you know, 340 at the maximum, but 330s is probably where we'd want to have a full short position on in copper, and then would expect something, you know, pretty serious to the downside.
All right. Well, again, that would make sense. I mean, I thought we'd go back to the two levels, so we'll see how that works out. And of course, you are very solid on the Canadian, and actually had it solid, you know, in the 80s, and now we're in the, you know, high 70s with a low of 77.45 of recent vintage. What's your look at the Canadian dollar now?
Well, it's still holding on to a rising support for me, and it's chopping on top of it, which makes me concerned that it will just break through, but it's still above it. I have a very good resistance level at about 82.7. So and this would be a lower high than we had a couple months ago. But that's where I would want to get short. I wouldn't be touching Canadian right here, long or short. But if we got up to, you know, just under 83 cents, then I'd be shorting.
Well, that could tie into your whole dollar euro theory as well, because obviously if the dollar goes down to 91, we could very easily get up to 82 in the Canadian. So that would make sense there. And of course, last but not least is the bond markets. And of course, they've been a little bit quirky, but you've been right on top of the action. And what's your take of TLT, which I know that's what you cover, and also the bonds?
Yeah, TLT, it's a complex pattern. It's one of the harder ones for me to read, but I'm seeing it's bouncing in between minor levels. I can see where the very strong support and resistance levels are. So for TLT, the next one up is at 131, and there's a very strong declining target at about 137, which we'll see. I don't think we're really going to go above 131 just yet. That 137 level's declining, so I think they may meet further out in the future. The key with TLT is if we break 122.30, then 116 is the next move to the downside. There'd be really nothing supporting TLT below 122.30.
And I would see that happening as well. I mean, I could see that happening, and I could see it happening in December, as again, if the Fed does hike, which they're like a 92% favorite to hike, I could see that actually happening. It may not happen immediately, but I could see that happening. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, again, I'm a big believer that interest rates are going to go higher anyways. And, you know, I look at other things than obviously just purely the technicals there. But Matt, as always, it's great to have you on the show. And I wish you and your family a great, happy Thanksgiving. And we're thankful to be able to have Matt Demeter on every week on The Bubba Show.
Todd, it's always great to be here. And I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving as well.
And that's our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And I do urge you to check out his website. He's got a lot of great stuff. And again, you can tell his stuff is purely based on the numbers. It's got no emotion in there. It's dead on exactly what the numbers tell him. So make sure you check out DemeterResearch.com. And don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day from LibertyTalk.fm, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget also to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is yours free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and sign up for it. And that'll do it for today. We're going to see you back here tomorrow at the same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, we always appreciate you being here. And we appreciate having Matt on. So we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. See you later.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.